If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do we now have a state-mandated form of liberal religion whose doctrines are now acceptable in the state?
When you have kids, there's a whole lot more to call you out of your self-centeredness.
The reason we stand opposed to sin is not because it hurts me. The reason we stand opposed to sin is because it hurts the sinner.
The Lord's mercy is opened up to us by the death of Jesus on the cross, so that the Christian looks at everything in this life and understands it as a gift from God.
UC Berkeley alumni who still support the freedom of speech, love, issues, etc. Fiat Lux and Go Bears.
When a guy like Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, speaks, and he doesn't speak publicly that often, but when he speaks, people listen. He was recently interviewed by CNBC, and the subject of community and the loss of community came up. He has a goal, of course, of getting 1 billion users for Facebook, probably, like most of his other goals, will exceed it. But he's talking about communities like churches and little league teams and things like that that are on the decline numerically. He says if we can do this, that is, get 1 billion users for Facebook, it will not only turn around the whole decline in community membership that we've seen for decades, it will start to strengthen our social fabric and bring the world closer together. The headline there wonders whether or not Zuckerberg thinks that Facebook and the communities created there can replace, well, not just little league associations and other kinds of associations, but maybe even church. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about that article and Mark Zuckerberg's recent statements about church and community memberships. Pastor Peter Speckard will join us. Then Tom Baker will be with us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Joseph caring for his father Jacob in Genesis chapters 46 and 47. Feel free to join us over the next hour with your questions or your comments, or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can use the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about recent statements by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg about church and community memberships, Pastor Peter Speckard. He is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Peter, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Zuckerberg doesn't come out and say that Facebook can replace the church, but I guess the question probably needs to be answered sooner or later, because many people might think it can. Can social media like Facebook replace the church? What does the church offer that Facebook can't?
Well, I guess you'd probably be pretty stunned if I said, yeah, you know, I think Zuckerberg's right about that. You know, there's not going to be a church in the future. So I won't obviously say that. I think obviously Zuckerberg is kind of majoring in the minors. What can Facebook offer the church can't, or vice versa? The center of what the church is, forgiveness, life, and salvation, you know, the proclaimed word, the forgiveness of sins, the body and blood of Christ, none of that can you get on Facebook. And frankly, it's the same with Little League. You can get everything about Little League except for baseball on Facebook. So it's sort of like you get all of these tangential side benefits of neighbors to chat with. You know, Facebook might well replace, in some places, coffee in the narthex or the car ride pool of the Little League team or something, and the chatting that goes on there. But it can't actually, I mean, in the end, it offers an abstraction. It can't actually replace either the church or Little League, for that matter.
There seems to be at work here at least a version of the definition of church that is not unfamiliar to American Protestantism, maybe Zuckerberg has that view, as essentially a voluntary association of like-minded individuals. There was actually a theologian in the 19th century, who came up with that definition, Friedrich Schleiermacher. Is that part of the problem in trying to kind of make and draw an equivalence between social media and church?
Exactly, and you can see, because he's talking about church and Little League as though those are comparable things. They aren't comparable things. The church is not just sort of this voluntary association. And what happens when you think of it that way is it becomes an abstraction. It becomes more like a personal philosophy or way of looking at the world than it does membership in the living, breathing body of Christ. So I guess it makes sense for somebody like Zuckerberg to look at it that way, because that's probably what it does look like from his perspective. From an outsider looking in at church, it looks like, well, I don't know, some people go to that church, some people go to that church. And that's kind of a scandal that we do come across that way to an outsider sometimes, as just sort of a club. Because one of the real things, even if we set aside the heart and soul of the matter of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ, and we just look at the benefits of church in terms of the social benefits, Facebook really can't even replace that, because one of the things about church is that it's like a family that's larger than family, and you don't get to choose who you are, in fact, united with in Christ. And a lot of those people that you are brothers and sisters in Christ with are extremely annoying. And you don't want to hang out with them, and you have to put up with them. And, you know, maybe you have a hearing aid and the person behind you has a screaming kid or whatever it is. And the thing about Facebook is that it's the opposite of that, where it's completely self-selected. It takes all of the effects of mobility and how that affected culture, you know, with the invention of the automobile, and people could live further and further apart, and just exacerbates them, where you can live in a Facebook world entirely in an echo chamber, and if somebody irritates you, you just get rid of them. You can't do that in the church. So in a sense, as we compare Facebook to the church, one of the things we should thank God for on a given Sunday is the people in church who irritate us, because it reminds us that the church is real.
Let's talk about Facebook can offer people a connection, although you say, and you're quite right, it is illusory and it is virtual, no matter how well we connect with other people in social media. Let's talk about what makes the church, as opposed to any other group of people who get together or who are brought together by, say, just a common cause or idea. Where would you begin in distinguishing the church as something more and something quite different from that?
Well, I think you have to go to St. Paul's metaphor of the body of Christ and take that understanding that membership in the church is an organic kind of membership, where he compares it to the members of the body being one body. That's completely different than members of a baseball team being one team, or members of a country, or members of a family, because it really, it's a level of interdependence and life that, and I think this also speaks to what you were saying before about how we get that kind of in our American evangelicalism and Schleiermacher about, well, you know, it's just sort of this life. That's not what the church is. So an example that I like to use is always, you know, and I guess listeners can try this at home, is just to wiggle your thumb. And if you can wiggle your thumb, that proves that your thumb has a relationship to your head. Okay, so when we use the body of Christ metaphor, okay, I'm a member of a body, and Christ is the head of that body. But you don't have a relationship to Christ that is entirely apart from your relationship to other people. In other words, if you cut your thumb off your hand, it ceases having a relationship with your head. So your thumb's relationship to your head is also a relationship to your wrist and your arm and your veins and your nerves and all of that. So a Christian's connection to Christ is also, at the same time, a Christian's connection to the Christian church. It's an organic reality, not simply, you know, like a club where if you have 10 members, great, and if you have 100 members, well, that's just 10 times as much of the same thing. That's not really how the Christian church works. And I think part of our problem is that we have such a love affair with the word personal. You know, it's your personal Lord and Savior. Everything is personal, and it makes it sound like it's just sort of a kind of a me and Jesus kind of thing instead of a relationship of a body to the head of the body and each individual as members of a body.
Someone might say, but Pastor Speckard, you know, if this is a spiritual and a mystical connection that I have with the fellow members of the body of Christ by faith in him, then why can't it just be virtual? After all, a connection of something that is spiritual and mystical knows no geography, no boundaries. Why would I have to actually have to come into physical proximity with such other people to have church?
Right. Well, and I mean, I think technically you can say, once you started asking the question, why does it have to be, or what's the minimum I can get away with, I think you're off on the wrong track. But even so, to say, why is it best? What's advantageous about it? You look at the nature of the word and the sacraments. The whole point of them in the sacraments is that they are tangible and that we receive them bodily. And, you know, it's our body that's a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we come together for the mutual edification of the saints. And I think people, even at a social level, instinctively understand this. When there's an event in your life, you don't want everybody to Skype in. You want them to be there. And that's even talking about something that's not necessarily spiritual. So how much more when there's this spiritual reality, this connection that you have of oneness in Christ, would you not only commune, but you commune together. That makes a big difference. Now, is it technically possible for somebody who is a shut-in and who can't go to church to still be connected to the body of Christ by faith? Sure. But does that mean that that's the ideal situation or the preferred situation? Of course not. I mean, it says in Hebrews, don't give up meeting together. And that, you know, that proximity, that flesh and blood aspect of things, I think is a great benefit to people, and anyone who experiences it could probably tell you that.
I would liken it to marriage. My wife and I were joined in marriage 30 years ago. We love each other. That's a bond that is real. But we are also, we know from the Word of God, joined as one flesh, and no amount of distance between us can break that. It's not a geographical thing, but I wouldn't want to spend more than about 2 days away from her. What do you think?
Right. Well, and that's exactly the point of the initial question of why, if somebody says, why couldn't you live in a different state and still be married to your wife? You could say, well, I mean, people do it, and there's soldiers overseas that are still married, but why would you? That would somewhat defeat the purpose. You know, I think most people who are married have at some time, whether for work or for some other reason, experienced some time of separation from their spouse. You think, okay, it's possible. It's not like they got divorced and remarried because they were physically apart, but it's not what marriage is all about. And being a Christian, if once we understand that as membership in the body of Christ, we stop asking the question, well, why can't we do it in a virtual way? And look at it much more like, well, why would we? What's the real advantage? And I think when you start looking at it that way, you start to say, well, I don't know, I can, you know, read my devotions in my pajamas and not have to get dressed up or something. That's really not that much of an advantage.
Pastor Peter Speckard is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana. He's authored the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. We're talking about some recent statements made by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg regarding the church and community memberships. When we come back, we're going to talk about membership, that concept of membership. Well, someone says it's not important where you're a member, and someone else might say, well, yes, it's very important. There's a dual sense in which Christians are members of the church. We'll talk about both of them after this.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Religious liberty, Christians engaging the media, the For You of Christianity, Christian marriage, the sexual revolution, the Benedict option. These are some of the topics for the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $120. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
If you've ever attended an Issues, Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Pastor Peter Speckert is our guest. We're talking about some recent statements made by Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, about church and community memberships. He's author of the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Let's talk about membership, because that's a term that often trips people up. They either regard it as completely irrelevant or as really kind of the only thing that makes, that is the kind of the roll book membership, the only thing that really makes a difference in terms of the church. You say there's two senses to understand that word. What are they?
Well, when you talk about being a member of a group, one way you can do that is that all of the pieces of the group are more or less interchangeable. So in the book, I use the example of bricks that are each part of a wall, but each brick is more or less interchangeable with any other brick, you know, dominoes in a design or something like that. But it's the organic sense of membership, the interdependent type of membership, like parts of a body, that is really much more of the New Testament idea of what it means to be a member of the Christian church. So you're baptized into the Christian church, and you really are a member of it then, whether you want to be or not. I mean, that's just simply what you are. And then you get into the idea of membership as, okay, I'm going to formally belong to this congregation or this denomination or whatever it is, as your way of expressing that membership. But membership in the body of Christ, the connection you have to other Christians, is just simply part of being baptized. So it's not optional. Whereas formal membership in a congregation or a church body is something that many people do and some Christians don't. And one of the points, you know, that I'm trying to argue in the book is that it's a bad decision not to formally be a member of a congregation for a variety of reasons that relate to just your practical living out of your Christian life.
Does that go to really understanding, and you mentioned this before, that the purpose of the church, apart from simply associating with other people, this is about being associated with Christ himself and the gifts he gives, isn't it?
Yes, because, you know, for instance, just look at all of the things, the ways that God gives you gifts. You can't baptize yourself. You can't just sit at home by yourself and do communion. You don't have a called and ordained servant of the word without a calling body of some kind. So there's a way in which your connection to other people, your collective actions as a church, also act as the way of you receiving these means of grace. Even teaching yourself is something that you really need the church as an aspect of that. Now, obviously, we have the scriptures, and people will argue about the relationship between the scriptures and the church and the church and the scriptures, but The point is that you can't really be a Christian in a vacuum. So then the real practical question for people is, why would I join a church? And if I decide to join one, what do I look for in a church?
What determines the answer to those questions?
Okay, well, I think the first question is because it makes real the spiritual reality that already exists. For instance, it's like saying, because I'm part of a family, I'll go to this event, the family reunion or the wedding or the funeral or whatever it is, where the pre-existing reality is kind of what's determining it. And to not do that is to simply run away from a truth about you. As for why or how you would determine which church to join, the main thing that I think when you look at all of the facets, and here's where I think we fall into a trap of just, again, going back to the personal preference or the like-minded, you know, what works for me kind of view, which is very much in tune with American Protestantism. I think when you look at what the church is really serving as or in your life, you want to say, what is its confession of faith? What is believed, taught, and confessed in this place that aligns with what I believe, teach, and confess? And there's a little bit of a symbiotic relationship there, because you're first looking for a church that thinks what you think, but you're also looking for a church that has teaching authority to correct what you think. So that's a difficult chicken and the egg kind of task for outsiders coming into the church to really find, okay, where is the truth of Christianity proclaimed and taught and people are nurtured in it? But the first thing they have to realize is that that's the question. It's not where are the pews comfortable. It's not where does the music rock. It's not where do my friends go. It's where is the truth. That's got to be the criteria.
I imagine, though, that in a social media era, that where do my friends go is, for a lot of people, one of, if not the deciding factor as to which church they connect themselves to.
And I think that's right. And it's also, look at how ironic that is, because the preceding question is, why can't I do it by myself? Why do I have to be with other people? But when it comes to going to church, suddenly the main determination is, who are the other people? And so it's all of a sudden, the argument becomes, it really matters who I'm sitting next to. It really matters who's singing next to me as I sing this hymn. When the prior question of before they came into the doors of the church at all was, why should it matter at all whether anyone is sitting there? So it's kind of, in a way, you're trying to address a de-churched culture that wants to have it both ways, where that wants to say it doesn't matter and it's the only thing that matters at the same time.
You say that church membership is far more than what it would be, say, in any other kind of social organization, where you show up, you pay your dues, and you follow the rules. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, right, because I think a lot of people, when they think of membership, and this is right away in the introduction, the idea of membership has fallen on hard times, because people don't want to be stereotyped. They don't want to be thought of in terms of a group. So the minute you say, I am a card-carrying member, you risk people looking at you and saying, oh, so you're one of those people. And they think that they know something about you because of these associations. So people don't want to be formally a member. They might want to participate. They might really appreciate, you know, what a club does or something, but trying to get somebody to formally be a member is very, very difficult today. And I think that's a big part of the reason, is that they want to be more of a free agent in terms of who represents them and what they represent. Very unlike in any social commentary, we'll talk about how the greatest generation was, you know, a generation of joiners. And we've almost become the opposite of that, where people very much shy away from joining anything. But the benefits of joining are not simply practical, but they're not quite as tangible as you might like to think. You really have to talk to people who are lifelong churchgoers and church members, and what you'll discover is that they wouldn't have it any other way. They can't imagine virtual church being the same thing at all. And then you'll start to really piece together from them all of these different benefits. But it's not just like, well, A, B, and C, end of story. But it's how you've lived your whole Christian life.
How do you respond, Pastor Specker, to someone who says, look, I'm all for God and spirituality, even Christianity, but I'm done with organized religion, or I'm suspicious of organized religion? What's your basic response?
Right. Well, there's two-part response. One is, you know, people very commonly say, I'm a very spiritual person, but I don't believe in organized religion. And you have to begin by saying, okay, what does that even mean? I'm a very spiritual person. Well, if you mean that you are a human being comprised of body and spirit, that's just obvious. It's like saying, I'm a very biological person. Well, okay, so you have a physical body. What does that say? So to say, I'm a very spiritual person, people really aren't saying very much when they say that, other than, they're making an anthropological statement. I think human beings have a soul or a spirit. Okay, great. Everybody is a very spiritual person by that definition. And if they mean something more than that, then the question becomes, does saying it make it so? To say I'm very spiritual, does that make me very spiritual? And if you look in the scriptures, you'll say, you know, spiritual life is a gift of God, you know, that the Holy Spirit creates by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not something that is a matter of this sort of deep thoughts or emotions or feelings or getting in tune with the universe. That doesn't impart spiritual life. So it's possible that somebody thinks they're very spiritual alive when they're not. But if all they mean is that they have a spirit, they really haven't said much. As for the second part of the statement, you know, I don't believe in organized religion, then you have to ask, what do you mean by organized? Christianity is by definition organized. St. Paul says that, you know, is every member an eye? Is every member an ear? You know, the hand can't say to the foot and so forth. Christianity is, by its definition, an organized religion. I think what people normally mean is, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I don't want a bunch of meetings and votes. I don't want all kinds of the trappings of an institution. But what they really are missing then is what the church has always been. You can go back to the book of Acts, and it's always been, you know, institutional and with sort of an authority-driven approach to things. You know, it's been political. It's involved sinners. It's had all of those trappings of an institution right away from the first, or, you know, the early chapters of Acts. So to say I don't believe in organized religion is really to say I believe religion is more of a personal philosophy. It's my own private outlook on the world. And I think that's an attitude that kind of prevails in our culture, but it's really contrary to biblical Christianity.
You highlighted this at the beginning. I'd like you to return to it here at the end, and that is that in many ways, social media is self-selective. And, of course, they have programs running behind Facebook that make it more self-selective than we can possibly imagine. It's catering to what we like and what we want to hear. Why is one of the first things the church has to do in the world is tell people, deliver a message that they don't want to hear?
Well, I mean, for the simple law gospel reason that the old Adam isn't going to want to hear the law in a lot of ways. There is an unpopular element, but the church is for everybody. And that's one of the main things that St. Paul argues, you know, against the Judaizers. It's one of the main great sort of epiphanies that St. Peter has, that Christ died for all, and the truth of everybody, the purpose for everybody, the meaning of everybody's life is found in this God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ and his self-giving in Jesus Christ. So the church has to be for everybody. And very few things can do that. I remember when I lived in Green Bay talking about how there were only two places in all of Brown County, where Green Bay is, where you might find anybody, where you might find a millionaire, you might find an ex-con, you might find a illegal immigrant, you might find the mayor. And those two places were the cathedral and Walmart. Those two places anybody might go. The church has to be for everybody. And so one of the things that defeats it is people trying to have a world unto themselves that is cut off from that message that, Christ is for all.
Pastor Peter Speckert is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Munster, Indiana, and author of the new book, Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. You can have this book for just $5.99 plus shipping and handling from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Look for Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters by Pastor Peter Speckert. Peter, thank you very much for being our guest.
Yep, thank you very much for having me.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 27th. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be in Genesis chapters 46 and 47, talking about Joseph caring for Jacob.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Greetings in Christ and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites you to attend our Reformation Summer Conference, July 11 through 13, 2017, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, focused on truth and education. Speakers include the Reverend Rolf Preuss, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Dr. Thomas Korchak. Enjoy this year's unique banquet experience at a Wyoming bison ranch. Visit ccle.org for more speakers and information. That's ccle.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.